Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We welcome you to the show. Today is Tuesday, May the 21st, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, that puts you in queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It's a delight to be here. We are in this beautiful spring weather, although it's a little cloudy today. These obviously are awesomely gorgeous trees with their colors. We've been really fortunate this year. I think this is the fifth spring we've had with the way we've been traveling. We've been kind of just staying a step ahead of it as we head north. And so we got one in Florida. We had one in St. Louis. We had one in Atlanta. We've just been really blessed this year with spring experience, and we're delighted to be here with you. It's our blessing and our opportunity to share the ancient Aramaic technology of forgiveness and do the thing we love to do most, and that is to watch people who delve into the parts of their minds that perhaps for a whole lifetime they've been hiding from, and letting loose of those parts of their minds, reclaiming their human lives, and being restored to this awesome presence of love that we are each designed to function as. So we're delighted to have this opportunity. We have a simple definition of a human being, and the definition is hold a newborn child. You know exactly what a human is. If you're not living out of that, if you're not experiencing that right now, right this minute, and in every minute of your life, there's a reason. It's because stored in your genetics or stored in your structure, there's something other than your human life. And in the ancient Aramaic language, the word forgive describes not letting other people off the hook because of what's going on inside of you, but how to forgive, how to remove what's going on inside of you. Whoever told us that forgiveness was the delete key for hostility, fear, rage, grief, pain, turmoil, and trauma? Whoever told us? And then, who told us how to do it? Well, we're here to share with you what we've discovered from the ancient Aramaic teachings of the man named Yeshua. He's popularly known as Jesus, but his name wasn't Jesus, it was Yeshua. And he was not a religious teacher, he was a teacher of psychology. He was a teacher of physics. He was a teacher of genetics. He was a teacher of physiology. Knew exactly how it all worked and showed us. And then the Greeks came along and disappeared it and made it something about some magical thing that happens outside of us rather than the work that we could follow instructions to do inside of us. So forgive is the tool for removing from your experience everything that never belonged in your experience. And what is it that never belonged in your experience? Anything unlike love. So that's what we're here to support you in. That's what we're here to learn. That's what we're here to do ourselves. And we are on track and on purpose with that, and we're delighted to have you share with us. Jeannie, do we have David with us today? Do we have Dr. Tim with us?
I don't see either one of them on the switchboard yet, but we do have Peter from Sweden.
Oh, great. Let's talk to Peter. Delight to hear your voice again, Peter. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hey, we look forward to seeing you in just a few weeks. Well, I guess it's more than a few weeks, a couple of months. And and we'll be there. And we're really looking forward to having some time with you and with your family and seeing how everything unfolds.
Yes, you're most welcome, and we're also excited to have you here.
Awesome. Yeah, our last journey there was so awesomely successful. Just so much happened, and you know, the book being available and published in Sweden in another language, all of that was just, it was such a huge, huge success. We appreciate you, and we're delighted to have you on the team.
Great.
Are you breathing?
I'm laughing.
So yesterday you were sharing some thoughts. I'd love to know more about that last comment that you made when we just ran out of time about just what exactly this law is, or rule that men have made up and called it a law, that says there's something you're not allowed to do. Would you share that with us?
Yeah. I spoke to Tanya just after the show, and she helped me with some more information, and she told me to Google it, and I did. And it turns out that it's a book written by a Danish person, and it's not that old, actually. It's from 1933, and he grew up in a Danish town, and in this book, he called this town Jante. And from there, we have gotten the Janta law. And
right.
really, it just says here that this concept has been wide and popularly accepted as unwritten law that says that you shouldn't think you are anything, not better than anybody else. You shouldn't stand out, and that's kind of what it is. And like every Tom, Dick, and Harry here kind of talks about it like that, and but he also mentioned the tall poppy syndrome in English, and that it's not that different from other places. But I know everybody here knows about this concept, Jantelagen, and I actually looked. I didn't know of this. I just know what I just shared with you. But I found also there is actually the Jantelag, and it has like the Ten Commandments, and it is just horrendous, and I never read it before, but it's in Swedish. I'm going to translate it as I can. You shall not think that you are something or someone. You should not think that you are as good as us. You should not think that you are wiser than us. You should not think that you're better than us, that you know more than us, that you are more than us, that you'll do to anything, that you are good enough for anything. You should not laugh at us, and you should not think that anyone cares about you, and you shall not think that you can learn, teach us something. So those are the
us that's writing this.
Yeah, I guess. It's only written like this. I know, I think so, yes. Or maybe us is referring to state, I don't know.
Oh, interesting. So the us is kind of unidentified.
Yeah, at least here. Had I read the whole book, I probably would, but I haven't.
I see.
Lucky me, I haven't. But Tanya shared that she met a person who, when she met him, was 24, 25 years old, and he had gone to school where they every day started saying this law. And this person... He never said anything. He was always quiet. No wonder.
Yeah, just shut down totally.
Totally.
So I'd like to contradict the Janta law. I think you should realize that you are the offspring of the Creator and function as a Creator. No, they're right. Not better than anybody else, not smarter than anybody else, but rather designed to be the pure expression of love that we're designed to be. And sadly, that's kind of an unwritten kind of thing here too, that comes to people's lives in many cases through churches. And you know, the churches have this subtle message that's often given, that you're a piece of dirt. And I think what happened there is that they're trying to do something beneficial, that is, to keep people from being ego-centered. But in their overreaction to it, because of their own probably painful experiences at being ego-centered, they drive people into the ground. And instead of inform them of how to function truly as who they are and claim who they are and live as who they are. So I think it's kind of an errant overreaction to people who become so haughty and, you know, so ego-centered that they destroy themselves. They destroy their own lives with that energy. And I think that we just need to find some kind of a balance. And the balance, I think, comes from realizing exactly who we are and that we are designed to originate creation. We're designed to originate and to be listening to the mind of the Creator, the mind of love, and bringing into the world what the Creator has in store for us should we choose to tap into who we really are. And, of course, if someone wants to be a controller of people, drive them into the ground and make them think they're a piece of dirt, and you'll be able to control them for life. And sadly, that is just too common an event in the world. So thank you for sharing that. That's really interesting, and I have more of a sense. For those who are just tuning into the show or perhaps weren't with us yesterday, Peter and his wife Tanya that she refers to are folks who spent a couple of years at Heartland back about 10 years ago and are still, to a degree with the processing we did yesterday, fighting this Yanta law that has been driven into your minds. And, you know, it sounds like that's probably going to be one of the 77 times 70 worksheet issues that you'll end up doing to clear that out, to really fully, totally express this, who you're designed to be. And we just hold the space and join in support of you doing that. And, you know, if it's that deeply ingrained in the culture, then probably it's time to do more worksheets. I know maybe Jeannie would share a story that she shared several times. We were out in Las Vegas last year and doing a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop, and there was a physician there who Jeannie had given him some feedback. And Jeannie, maybe you'd pick the story up from there and share what your experience was.
Okay. Well, first I have to back up a little further than that. I've done a tremendous amount of worksheets on not being worthy of being listened to. And there was never a point in time where it's like, oh, okay, that's the last worksheet. I've got that one done. But I just kept working on that same issue. Well, we were doing an all-day Mind Shifters, and, you know, when people are processing, and so I was giving this gentleman some feedback. And when we took an intermission for lunch, this other lady that was in the class came up to me and said, can I speak to you privately? And so I took her in another room, and she said, did you notice that when you were giving that guy feedback, he didn't even look at you? And it was like, ah, yes, awesome, the worksheets are working, because it had not even come into my awareness that he wasn't paying attention to me. And typically that would have been the perfect, yeah, see, I'm not worth being listened to, see, he's not listening to me. And it would have been perfect, but it had not even entered my awareness that he wasn't listening to me, or that I think he was listening. I think he just had his head down, you know, he was in process. And so I was able, though, to work with the girl. I said, you know, that's terrific, because you know, I was just offering the information with love, and there was no strings attached to how it was received. I said, but apparently you've got some things that you need to work on about not being listened to, or about men not paying attention to a woman or something, because, I mean, she was just a person in the room, and it really triggered her, and she wasn't even involved in the conversation. But it was at that point that it was like, oh, okay, this works. You know, I got past that one. And so that's been awesome. And I was able to then even take it a step further this year and be able to do a workshop and feel confident in doing the workshop. Michael, you're breaking up. We're only catching about half of your words.
Okay, is that any better? I must just have a poor cell signal. Can you hear me now?
Yes, you're fine now.
Okay. So I got a call with my mobile, and she's 96, and that she was probably going to pass in a very short period of time. And so I
was going to wait. We had to order Thursday or when.
You're breaking up again.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll let you just talk, and I'll see if I can find a place with a better signal.
Well, right there, you're clear if you stay right where you're at.
Well, I'm actually driving, and I'm sitting at a light. And anyway, I've got a minute here while I'm sitting at the light. In any event, I was going to wait until Saturday when I completed the workshops and fly up to Canada. And Jeannie just, you know, in the past, when we first met, would probably not in a million years have done this. She does the opening of the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop since she first did teacher training, as many of you know, and does an awesome job of it. But on many occasions, they said, well, why don't you step up and do another piece of it? No, can't do that, can't do it. And then when this call came, she just said, you know, why don't you leave now, and I'll do the two workshops. And I'll tell you, the feedback that we got from people was so awesome when she stepped out as this fabulous, incredible human being that she is, that we all are, that you are, Peter. It was just amazing. It was just the feedback I got. I had people calling me, acknowledging Jeannie for the work that she did in those two nights. And interestingly enough, the donations were better from the workshops those two nights than the three previous nights. So it's pretty cool to watch human life come forward in all of its glory, and it is glorious. Somebody who wants to control us tells us something else, and that's their problem, not ours, unless we buy it. And then, of course, forgiveness is the key. So how does that fit for you, Peter? Does that leave you just full of breath and aliveness and joy and delight?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Fabulous. Well, we're on your team, and we really do appreciate having you on our team. It is a blessing. Our journey there last time was a blessing. We're looking forward to coming back and spending time once again in Sweden and getting to play with the Swedish folks. And it was interesting. Jeannie often comments when she talks about us being there how slowly I spoke, which is not exactly my norm. And so, delight to be with you.
We're glad you got the internet thing worked out, figured out. I know it took you a while to figure out how to get on the show. So now you've got all that figured out so we can do the show while we're there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And I still have some questions.
Yes, please. Go for it.
I'm still on the worksheet from yesterday and coming
yes.
down to the latter part of 6. I asked to be shown how I have violated number 3.
Right.
Because that's,
yeah,
new.
That's a new
piece.
Yeah, that's one of the newest pieces in the worksheet. And what I discovered for me, and it came out of just some of my own doing worksheets, what happened was that I started to see that the goal that I wanted from them, the thing that I wanted them to achieve for me, was something that I had been violating for myself. And as I started to ask myself that question, what I noticed was that it opened a space for a whole lot more compassion for me, for people who do violate my goals, and people who, my mind tells me that they're the cause of my upset, but of course they're not the cause of my upset, they're the trigger for my upset, and my upset is mine, it belongs to me. And so if you just, you know, look at the goal you hold in number 3 and ask yourself the question, when have I violated that goal? What will tend to happen is you'll see the part of your mind that probably has been hiding, where you do the same thing to yourself. Like, for instance, maybe you are upset with someone or seem to be upset with someone because they put you down. And then when you start asking that question, you go, oh, gee, how many times have I put myself down? Maybe I need to deal with this. And so I'll come to another level of awareness in that regard and get to clean another part of my mind up. And, of course, it's all about cleaning up every part of the mind that holds any form of hostility, fear, self-deprecation, or anything that's less than love.
So with the example that I have here now, the goal being alive, enthusiastic, joyful, and happy. So just the times when I have chosen not to be that towards myself.
Right. When you could have been, and you didn't. And as you look at that, you know, with the worksheet that we started yesterday, and again, anybody who missed the show yesterday, you can tap in and listen to the archive. Peter called in, and Rex and I were talking excitedly about some of the things that are happening with the workshops here. And Peter called in with this worksheet where we were the sub. We started out as the subject and were the object of attention for disturbance around. Why are you so enthusiastic? So now look at the times when, and I think you shared very powerfully yesterday how you could remember as a kid watching your parents and, you know, them shutting down and the floodgates that opened of emotion when you canceled that goal. That's just, you know, so powerful. And so in this step you'd perhaps put, you know, in 6C, you'd put, you know, gee, when I was 4 or 5 or 10, whatever age it was, I can see when I learned and started to shut myself down, my own enthusiasm, and gave that up. And then a mind shifter to work with in conjunction with that would probably be, it's safe and healing, and everybody, especially my parents, approve of my full aliveness and enthusiasm. Does that resonate anything for you?
Say the last part again, please.
Especially my parents appreciate and love my full expression and aliveness. So what does that one fire in brain cells?
Yeah, right.
Okay, good. So that's a perfect mind shifter. Now, for those who are not familiar with the mind shifter tool, if that one triggers something for you, we'd invite you to go ahead and join Peter in doing it and creating that space of healing. And the way that you use the mind shifter is that you take a piece of paper and you divide the page in half. And on the left side of the page, you write the mind shifter. And on the right side of the page, you write every thought, good, bad, or indifferent, that comes up in response to that mind shifter. And as you do, the idea is to dump everything in your mind that is unlike love from that file in the mind. And as you get to look at it, then you get to work through it, layer by layer by layer. Forgiveness, letting loose of what never belonged in your structure. So awesome. Right on track. Does that complete? Does that help the reason?
You were breaking up there, so.
We just lost you, Michael.
Yep.
Michael, are you still with us? I think we just lost him. He's going to have to call back in. It looks like he totally lost all of his signal on that one.
Okay.
But Peter, you are absolutely awesome. I've told you that before, and I know you're working through that. And I think Rex has something he would like to say to you, too. Go for it. Let's see, Rex. I got you there. Go for it.
I got cut off there for a minute, so I lost you. I didn't hear your last comment, so I was asking if that rounded out or completed the understanding of that particular step in the worksheet.
Yes, thank you.
Good. Cool. Well, anything else we can do to support you? Any other questions, thoughts, answers, ideas? Anything to share? Any insights? We're just delighted to have you on the phone, so we'll hold you here as long as we can.
Well, I think that Rex has something he wants to say to him, too.
Oh, cool. Go for it, Rex.
Hey, Peter. Hi, Michael. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Peter, I appreciate you just sticking with it each day and coming back with another piece. It's great. It's been a great series of programs with your, you know, sharing what you shared. I was just going to reiterate what I thought Mike was saying because he came back on and said it while I was trying to figure out how to unmute my phone here in a moment. But yes, that piece on feeling stifled and having our enthusiasm and our joy and our bliss, you know, being so present with us when we're real young as an infant, and then gradually having that be somewhat taken from us, you know, because we gave it away. We gave it up without realizing because they were bigger than we were, you know, the whole story about the power person dynamic. But yes, I admire you and I appreciate you being so forthright and being honest about that and bringing it out so we can all look at it at another level. It's exciting.
It is exciting, for sure.
And I also had one piece in regards to the conversation about the law. My oldest son had dinner with us on my birthday yesterday. Our whole group got together, and a group of us got together, Michael and Jeannie and some friends, and my son and daughter. And he's saying, "You're kidding, that's a law?" Well, he went right home and started researching, and he did find that there is a law on the books that says that you cannot use any racial slurs, I guess, something along that line, but he couldn't find any law specifically to what you're speaking of. And so I want to respond to him. He says, make sure you let me know. He says, it does sound like Sweden has much stricter laws as far as freedom of speech, but he didn't find anything specific. And what you were describing, you said this was a book that was written. Was this widely accepted in the population or in the 30s? Or?
So it's not a law as of sort at all. It's somebody who wrote a book, but it refers to this concept of, like they also say in English, the tall poppy seed syndrome, of not sticking out, don't think you are anything. So it's really but it's a person who written this book, but it has been widely accepted. And like I said, everyone here, if you say Jantelagen, oh yeah, Jantelagen, yeah, we know about that one. So it's like we carry it around with us all the time, even though it's not a law per se.
Got it. Well, it's interesting also, as you were describing, quote, and I put in quotations, the laws or these rules, almost everyone, I think everyone that I heard you say, was all regulatory.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, I thought, important as well, because it's a good way for, it's a way for people to, and I love what Michael says about changing the definition of the words of a population, of a society, and you control the society. And so that sounds like that may have been the case, and it was coming from a very fearful place. The wording sounds very fearful.
Yeah, and my thinking is, now that I know that the book was written in 1933, he didn't just invent it. I mean, that was something that he either observed or something, and now it was written, put on paper, and it's widely accepted. As this,
very interesting.
Yeah. Sad and interesting.
Well, and for anyone who isn't quite sure what we're talking about here, I had shared yesterday on the show that the kind of shock that Jeannie and I had when we were in Sweden, because we would ask a question, something very innocuous, like, you know, the opening question that we have in the beginning of Why Is This Happening to Me Again is always, how many have ever held a newborn child? And we were actually speaking to a group of government people, and we asked that question. And it was almost impossible to get anybody to put their hand up. Nobody would answer us. Nobody would speak up and reply to that question, which we just, you know, it was like getting the people to say anything was like pulling teeth. And, you know, it just became a topic of conversation because everywhere we went, to get people to respond to a question seemed almost impossible. And now we're understanding more about why that is. And, you know, nobody spoke to us about this Janta law when we were there. And I don't know, Peter, whether we ever, you know, talked with you about it, but I know that one of the people who was in that particular office, we had asked that question of them. And they said, well, you know, you just don't say anything that's going to make you stand out. You just don't say anything that that might be different than what anybody else is going to say, or else you're in trouble. And so it's just really interesting to watch that dynamic unfold.
I think that's true for the culture, and even more so being like where you were at the governmental office, where it's even more quote-unquote sophisticated. So you should definitely not stick out there and say something about a newborn child or something like that. No, definitely not. More true there than there and any place else.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And, you know, any way we can support you, and we certainly appreciate your support. And as I say, we're looking forward to getting over there and spending time with your family and getting to know Sweden a little better and the people of Sweden and sharing these tools there. It's awesome to have that opportunity.
Yep. Well,
I haven't heard back from them, but it looks like we're probably we have an invitation to Denmark. I'm not sure where in Denmark yet, but we've also it looks like we'll probably be doing something there while we're in the territory. So, so you've got that piece of information.
Trustfully, it will be in the city of Nyköping Mors, because that is the city that he called Jante. So it's probably going to be in that
city. Interesting. That would be interesting. For sure.
Yeah. And I thought,
all right, well, anything else we can do to support you? Any other questions, thoughts, answers, ideas?
I just laughed at the end of the show yesterday because having talked about this, not speaking out and things like that, and you ended the show by saying, excusing that you had not been able to take the other callers. So I thought to myself, now I was speaking out.
Cool. Well, we support you in speaking out and and knowing that it's safe and healing to be heard and that people respect and honor what you have to share with them. You know, you with the work you've done, Peter, you know more about healing than 99.999% of people on the planet. And so you deserve the respect that comes from someone who's done the level and the quality of work that you've done, because it's pretty awesome. And we appreciate you for it.
Okay, enough already.
Okay, I'll be quiet.
I
work sheets are being acknowledged.
Yeah, exactly.
Next level, next layer, okay. Let's go for it.
Yes, have a wonderful...
So we appreciate you and you have our support.
Yeah, bless you.
We love you, Peter. You're the greatest.
Peter the Great.
Yeah. Was that Dr. Tim's voice I heard?
Yes, just trying to stir things up a little bit.
Oh, cool. Well, Peter, you know, or Tim and Rex, we've been talking to Peter for a couple of years now about him maybe coming back and spending some time in Heartland. So it'll be fun to get everybody together to connect when that happens. We'll look forward to that, too.
I was in a small town in, I was in a town in Belgium, I forget which one, and I was going to walk to a place, and I thought, I'm really lost now, I don't know where I'm at. And I stopped in front of a statue, and I looked at it, it said, Peter the Great. I thought, oh, maybe I'm not lost after all.
Very cool.
Okay.
Nothing like the universe giving you a message.
Yeah, exactly. Well, have a wonderful show.
Okay, blessings.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Peter.
It. Thanks.
Thanks for being with us.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
we have three callers on the line. First
okay,
one
well,
is Eric.
Let's say a quick hello to Dr. Tim.
Oh,
let's say a quick hello to Dr. Tim and see if he's got anything to share with us.
Well, I'm here, and I was listening yesterday and today, and it's been fabulous. And I think let's just move on to the callers.
Let's go for it.
But we don't always get to hear the callers, so let's move on to them.
Yeah, but your input's so valuable.
Oh, go on. You're just treating me like Peter.
Actually, I'm treating you just the way I would like to be treated. And I think if we lived in a world where that's what we all did, the game would change very rapidly.
I agree.
So let's
support you.
Let's share our first caller, Jeannie.
First one is area code 765. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Hello there. This is Sunny calling from Indiana.
Hey there, young lady. Did you get the answer yesterday to your text?
Yes, and I thank you graciously.
Good.
And I'd like to say wow and hope that he's still listening, because that was much of my question and was answered through his, and I was processing with him. And, Michael, it was like, I mean, I just fell apart emotionally. It was like a silent, primal, jaw-gaping scream from the generations. And my not being there with you now is this recurring, and I'm processing my own thoughts, if you will. It occurs to me that apparently from about the age of 8, when I manifest the first 6 of the amalgamum fillings, that for whatever strange reason, I managed to, I don't know if I'm subconsciously attempting to destroy myself or because the finances I literally cut off. And it allows me this time of ashram to process here, but I'm doing my worksheets and I'm like stuck in a loop with it or in a denial where there are no support groups here. Was my desire to come there and get registered at any means and be able to come back and start a support group here.
Are you breathing?
Yes.
So the first order of business is to breathe.
Yes,
first order
because
of business
I would
is to let loose.
On anyone here, and with all of the lives you've touched here, I've not been able to make contact with any of the former members of the church. And their comments were, yeah, if you start a support group, I'd be happy to come. And so I thought, okay, well, just short of walking to Lansing is about where I'm at. And I don't want to get into my story, Michael, but in terms of canceling, an immediate goal, I have until July 1st to save my home paid in full for 20 years from property taxes through my illness, through 3 years of fighting for my life and getting back to this point fully on faith and totally from a holistic approach of everything I know to be true.
Breathe deeply. Breathe deeply. You're in your story and let it loose as you're bringing it up. If you're going to bring it up, breathe deeply and keep that energy moving.
I know the truth, Michael. I do. And I don't know what I'm doing, what the blocks are. Because
so I let go of the proclamation that I know the truth. That's a pretense in my mind. The truth is I don't know what the hell's at the root of this. But if I breathe, I can touch into it, and I can be letting go of another level and another layer of it. And that's what you want to be doing at this moment tonight.
I hear you. I can see the duality. And I just press on, and everyone around me is, you know, I've got the naysayers, and I just shut it all out. It's like, no, it's going to be okay. And I just don't know what I'm doing, Michael. I really don't.
Then
where
keep forgiving and keep breathing. That's what I'd suggest.
Well, I'm on a worksheet, and I go into, I hit feeling very restricted about just being able to flow and make this trip. So I do worksheets unrestricted, honestly process some anger about it, any emotional fit throwing I'm doing, and it comes back to my prosperity. And that primal scream of yesterday, as I said, the only other thing that comes up is maybe I know my uncles were repeatedly incarcerated. And I don't know if this is an imprisonment. And then again, I don't know if it's somewhere that I have determined to just cut off my life somehow. I don't know.
Well, as I listen to your speech, it sounds like that worthiness for life, you know, with that conversation with Peter yesterday, that it resonated so deeply with you. And that's where I'd be focusing on, you know, and how early in your life was the life support system taken from you in terms of family, in terms of home, and how deeply embedded in your family's consciousness is this loss of family and home. And to shift and to change that is to breathe and to look at all the goals you hold around that, that when you cancel them, you get to that primal scheme place. You get to that deeper place and breathe through it and let loose of it. And I'll just throw the gate open to Rex and to Dr. Tim. I know Rex has done some work with you, so he may have some input for you too. And Dr. Tim, perhaps you have some as well. Are you there, Rex?
And did you have? I am here. I was just pausing to, you know, give space for Dr. Tim if he had something there. Yes, Sonny, one of the things that I find is really helpful is just to acknowledge, one, that you're feeling what you're feeling. And the resistance to what this, you know, event that's coming in July, your resistance to just embracing the experience you're having in the moment, well, you'll have a tendency to project yourself into July worrying about the house, you know, and losing your house, which it's what's resonating in you is, you know, I always like to ask, how old do you feel, Sonny? If you just ask yourself and you're having this fearful thing about losing your house, how old do you feel? What number pops into your mind? Yeah, it's not a number. What number is it?
The number of the dollar amount?
No. See what your mind and your evidential mind is going to. I asked you to just imagine what it feels like in your fear and feel that fear and then just ask yourself, how old do I feel right now? And a number will pop into
how old do I feel right now?
What number pops into your mind?
At what age did you first feel this feeling?
Seven.
Okay. 27. Okay. So then what you can do is you can review that 27-year-old and what was happening at that time in your life, and you'll see relationships to what it is that you think you're upset about. So at 27, did you own a house that you were losing? Or did you have a house that you were living in that you were losing?
At 27, I had a pregnancy that was killing me, and I was prescribed a clinical abortion or I was going to die.
Okay, so just take a deep breath, Sonny. Just relax right now and let your body soften and just breathe.
I reduced myself to living in a tent.
Okay,
whether I was blessed with being put in this house on a land contract.
Okay, there's a couple things happening right now. Hold on. Be careful about how your evidential mind will steer you into the story so that you no longer feel what you're experiencing. And that's the most important piece to this, is that you're experiencing this pain in you, and the mind will direct you to try to avoid it. And so you thought you were upset about the potential of losing your house, but actually what you were upset about is at 27 you had an experience that you had not embraced and forgiven yet. inside you.
And I really honestly felt that I have. I know that you cannot terminate or end life. And I don't know. I've
looked
for that
here.
And
Tony, my invitation would be that had you have cleared the energy, it would not have popped back up into your awareness right now related to the event that's happening now. And so it's coming up because you're ready to heal another layer of it. And this is where the power of the worksheets come into play, because if you sit down and you do a worksheet and put at the top of the worksheet the event at 27 that took place, or who, what the trigger of that was, and then put the brief description and then the healing, and just guide yourself through that process, and you'll clear that, and then it's very likely that there was a series of events that take you way back to when you were really young, and that's where the Hydra effect comes in, and it can really guide you through the process. And then rather than thinking that your upset is generated as a result of this external event, you will actually move through the events in your mind that you're upset about and clear it and forgive it and reestablish conscious goals. Now the event that appears to be taking place in the world of actuality right now can change. It gives the freedom to allow that to be different for you, and you can create a different reality and actuality.
Okay, again, this is processing your words, and this would be generational. My mother had a huge order of difficulty in arriving at me. She had multiple losses of children, and my own birth-given father said I was a 10-year project.
Breathe into that and feel it.
And my mother, you know, she passed away by the time I was 18 months old, so she did not get to enjoy her life from probably her own grief, which was heart-related.
So what are you doing with your body, Sonny? What are you doing with your body right now? There's a lot of tension in your shoulders. You're holding your shoulders up. Just let them drop.
I'm standing up.
Okay, so just let the shoulders drop. Let them relax. And like Michael said, it's right on top of it. You're right in it. So just breathe. The breath will take you through anything that you surface.
I just really feel like a defense to protect my family right now, which would be my daughter.
All right, so let's throw it open. Let's throw it open. And just let it go.
God bless you, because I can't do anything in this position. Thank you.
Okay. So this is the drama coming
out. What you can do is you can breathe.
Yes.
I am.
You can always breathe. Good. And remember the step number two in the worksheet. I'm willing to open the space big enough in myself to embrace all of these dis-ease producing energies from all my relations. It looks like, you know, with your courage, that you're becoming brave enough to go into. I can't imagine what a woman must go through to have lost multiple children and then have a child and 18 months later pass away. I can't fathom what the emotional trauma would be for that mother, for your father, and for you as the baby. It's huge. Mm. And you can't do this with your head. But what you can do is keep that breath moving and make a commitment, because I understand that you're holding the space to shift things for your daughter. So keep breathing, keep your breath moving.
Yeah.
And just repeat that statement in number two. I'm willing to open to embrace and bring every dis-ease energy from all my relations, from all of my genetic history. And note that you're not by yourself doing this. We are here, Rex, you know, Mitzi, Jeannie, David, Tim, Peter, and everybody else who's listening is here supporting you in opening that heart space big enough to embrace all of this for all of your relations. You know, I don't know what your mom went through to get to the point where she had that experience. I don't know what her mother, what's been going on for women over the generations. And the beauty is you don't have to know. And you want to watch the tendency of your mind to make up a story out of that content and just breathe through and turn over that content and forgive it. Let it loose. Soften everything with your breath and let it loose.
I'm processing, Michael, and my gift back to you. I knew at 4 years old that it, this mess that I was being raised in stopped with me. And when I met you, and I heard the words in the seminar about the healing through generations, asked myself.
Okay. So stay with the energy that's moving. Notice the tendency when things start to move for you, and we've been talking about this for a long time, the tendency is to get into your head and want to think about things. You don't think your way through healing. In order to heal, remember, you've got to be out of your mind. You've got to get loose of that mind and be in the energetic process of moving these things, embracing these things as love. You know, imagine holding your daughter as a newborn right now as you breathe. Imagine holding your daughter as a newborn. Remember that awesome presence of love. There was nothing to say about it. There was nothing you could say about it. There were no words big enough, right?
Exactly.
So tap in and let that energy support you as you breathe and move all of this so that you shift and change your creative process. Go for it. That's it. Go in. Deeper. Breathe. You got people all over the world breathing with you right now. Breathe. Know that you're embraced and held in the love of God.
When I first realized in the delivery room that she was alive and breathing, I screamed, "God, protect my baby."
Oh, okay. So we'll invite you to cancel your need for your baby to be protected. Because when I go into a defense, my defense is the energy with which I create attack. If I think, ooh, I need to protect from this, what I'm saying is, world, you have to deliver this to me. So I invite you to let go of that and step into your trust of Rukka.
Yes.
Step into the trust of the eternal forces from God that surround you and take care of you so you don't need protection. Because protection is an attack.
Oh, God.
Protection lays out exactly the kind of attack we expect. And when that frequency crosses our minds, the Creator says, I have a contract. If you ask, you will receive. I have to bring that to you. So move out and let go of this need for protection and defense and breathe into, and there's this awesome statement in the Scriptures that says, if you're in harmony with me, the Creator, love, you can walk through a battlefield where 1,000, 10,000 will die, and you can't be touched.
Exactly.
If you are not in resonance with that presence of love and the breath, and you walk through the battlefield, you're on your own. If you've got death set up in your frequency, in your structure, if you've got defense set in your structure, bang, there's a bullet coming your way. But if you're in resonance with love, it can't come near you. Yeah, beautiful.
It's money war, Michael. It's the only way they can't do it. The only thing I have not conquered.
Keep breathing. Stay with it. That's beautiful. That's the first time I've heard you take that many consecutive breaths and just do it freely. That's awesome. You're right on track.
I
this is going to change your life.
It's just down to the money war. And I'm still standing, 107 pounds of me, but I'm still standing.
Keep breathing. Let yourself go into the depth of that feeling.
Of the have to gotta struggle of labor to work for the money and just stay in this space and just keep doing the works of my hands and just maintaining the prayers and the communications. It's just stinking money is all it is.
And let me just ask Dr. Tim. Tim? Do you have any tapping instructions you could give her in the middle of this to assist in moving this energy?
I would invite you to take your left hand and put it so your little finger is just above your right wrist with your right palm facing down. And then
okay.
As vigorously as is comfortable for you, tap on your right arm with your left fingers laying across your wrist. And tap 10 or 20 times as you breathe, nice deep breaths, and then flip your right hand over so your palm is up, and now you're tapping on the underside of your right wrist. And repeat that for 10 or 20 times. And then flip
and you've
hands
got
with a nice
people
deep
all
breath.
Over the world doing this with you.
Yep.
With a nice deep breath, with your right hand, your little finger right above the bone on your wrist, tapping on the top of your wrist with your left palm down as vigorously as is comfortable for you, 10 to 20 times with nice deep breaths. And then roll your left hand over so you're tapping on the underside of your left wrist. And breathe. Tap 10 to 20 times. Take a nice deep cleansing breath and let it all go.
I'm just double-checking the hand placement and just repeating.
Breathe, and what Tim is giving you is instructions for opening the meridians that allow this energy to move on another level. And you've got people. I'm standing here in a parking lot. People are kind of looking at me like I'm a little strange, tapping my wist. I'm actually standing in a parking lot in Lansing, Michigan, in front of a store.
My legs are trembling. I'm sitting down, but my legs are just trembling.
Good. You can repeat the same thing above your ankles on both sides. Put the tips of your fingers at the bone in your ankle and pat in as firmly as you can and breathe.
Good. What in?
You tap in from both sides of your ankle, from the left and right, with your fingertips just above the bone of your ankle. Treating it like a wrist. And just tap and breathe.
And Dr. Tim, we're down to about 60 seconds, so the show is going to cut off. Any other instructions for her in this last minute or so?
Just what you
anything
continue,
to you next?
Continue to breathe.
Thank you.
Yes, and remember to let that throat soften. Real basic, but very, very important. Just keep it soft and know that you're moving through a lot of material and you're healing beautifully, and we all got you in our consciousness to hold you in the space.
Yeah. We hold you in our hearts. And we promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth and treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect in our thoughts, our words, and our actions, whether in your presence or not. In every interaction, we commit to surrendering to love our true nature and recognizing that our connection to our source and our relationship with you is more important than any issue. We open our hearts to embrace you in our love. We open our hearts to be embraced in your love. And we hold that you have a blessed day. Lots of love. And we'll be in touch. Create the best year yet of your eternal life, everybody. Thank you for the support. Blessings.